Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and 12 months FY25 earnings conference call of REC Limited, hosted by Equirus Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shreepal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pooja. Good morning, everyone. We welcome you all to the earnings conference call of REC Limited to discuss the Q4 12-month FY25 performance of the company and to discuss the business update. Today, we have with us the senior management team of REC Limited, represented by Mr. Jitendra Srivastava, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Vijay Kumar Singh, Director of Projects, Mr. Harsh Baweja, Director of Finance, and Mr. Mohan Lal Kumawat, Executive Director. Without further ado, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Supreet Pandya. Over to you.
Good morning, everyone. I take this opportunity to introduce to you all the new Chairman and Managing Director of REC. Shri Jitendra Srivastava has assumed charge of CMD REC on 22nd April 2025. He is an IAS officer of year 2000 batch from Bihar cadre. He is a seasoned civil servant with over two decades of distinguished service across finance, power sector, education, public health, and infrastructure. He has held other several key administrative and leadership roles across the Government of India and the Government of Bihar. Shri Srivastava has served as Joint Secretary in the Department of Drinking Water and Sanitation, Ministry of Jal Shakti, from January 2023 onwards. Sir, we are delighted to have you join us, and we are confident that your expertise and leadership will be invaluable to the company's future. Sir, we firmly believe that under your able leadership, REC will continue to scale newer heights. Sir, now I request you to kindly provide the opening remarks to the investors on this call.
Thank you so much. First of all, a very good morning to all of you, and it gives me great pleasure and a sense of privilege to sit here before all of you and discuss the Q4 as well as the 12-month financial year 2024-25 progress of REC. As we all know, REC is a Maharatna Government of India enterprise engaged primarily in non-banking finance, infrastructure finance, and for public infrastructure. We fundamentally lend to the power sector, and we provide both CapEx and non-CapEx loans to state electricity boards, state power utilities, power departments, and of late, the last two or three years, we have forayed into the non-power sector, and we have been funding critical infrastructure in various sectors. Just for information, as on 2024-25 financial year, our sanctioned projects stand at over 3.37 lakh crores, which is huge, which sustains basically the momentum of the last year. We have focused on documentation and disbursements, and it gives me great pleasure to let everybody know that documentation of this year has increased to 2.07 lakh crores. Disbursements, if you look at it, have also increased on an 18% year-on-year basis to almost 1.9 lakh crores, wherein we have a specific focus on the RE sector, where the disbursement increased from almost 63% on a year-on-year basis to almost 26,000 crores. We have set a very ambitious target of touching 3 lakh crores investment, I mean, disbursement in the RE sector from our current loan book of roughly 58,000 crores by 2030. Our loan book as on date stands at around 5.67 lakh crores, which is again roughly 11% increase over the last year's loan book of 5.09 lakh crores. We have targeted a 10 lakh crore loan book by the year 2030. We are aiming for a growth of roughly 12% on a year-on-year basis. Considering our previous track record, our current state of investments, and the huge growth that we foresee in the power sector in the years to come. This year we have received prepayments of almost 15,000 crores in quarter 4 of 24-25, which is in addition to the roughly 20,000 crores prepayment that we have received in the first 9 months of the 24-25 year. Had the prepayment not been received, the growth in our loan book would have been close to 18% on a year-on-year basis. So I would like to now announce the key financial highlights that we have achieved this year. First of all, it gives me the greatest pleasure to announce that REC has recorded its highest ever annual profit of 15,713 crores, which is a growth of 12% on a year-on-year basis. The net worth of the company has increased by almost 13% to roughly 78,000 crores. The total income of REC has grown by almost 20% and is touching roughly 56,000 crores. The net interest, if you look at it, has grown by almost 27% and is touching almost 20,000 crores. During the last quarter, quarter ending 31st March 2025, So in the last quarter ending 31st March 2025, we resolved two stressed assets totaling almost 3,400 crores. That was KSK Mahanadi and Corporate Powers. As a result, our gross credit impaired assets have come down to 1.35% as against 2.71% last year. Also, the net credit impaired assets have reduced to 0.38% from almost 0.9% last year. We hope to continue this trend and we are very hopeful that we will become a net zero NPA company by the end of 25-26. The yield on our assets has improved to 10.05%. The cost of our funds stand at around 7.11% and our resultant spread is at 2.94%. The NIM or the net interest margin has improved to 3.63%, which is an improvement of almost 6 basis points with regard to last year. And we are very confident that we will maintain the spread in the range of 2.75 to 3 and the NIM in the range of 3.5 to 3.75% for the coming year. We have a very comfortable capital adequacy ratio. We are standing at a very comfortable 26%, in which our Tier 1 is roughly 24%. Against the RBI capital adequacy requirement of 15% and Tier 1 capital of 10%. So this high capital adequacy ratio provides us an ample cushion to support future growth. We have been continuously rewarding our shareholders in the form of dividends, and it gives me a lot of pleasure to announce that this year also we have declared a final dividend of 2.60 per share, indicating a total dividend of almost 18 rupees per share for the financial year 24-25, which is a growth of almost 13% compared to the previous year total dividend of 16 rupees per share. If you look in overall terms, the dividend payout for the company stands at 4740 crores, which is in comparison to the roughly 4000 crores of dividend that we disbursed last year. The reason why I am so hopeful about the future growth of REC is because the fundamentals of the power sector continue to improve, and that is very good news for the country as a whole. The legacy dues of the generation and transmission companies, which stood at 1.35 lakh crores roughly 3 years back, has reduced to nearly 25,000 crores. The ACS ARR gap has reduced to 39 paise per kilowatt hour. Tariff orders of almost all DISCOMs are in place. The regulators are issuing timely tariff orders, barring maybe two or three states. We have embarked, the Government of India, the Ministry of Power, has embarked on a very ambitious reform-based and result-linked revamped distribution sector scheme which was launched in 2021 for supporting DISCOMs and to make them more financially viable and to undertake reforms across that very complicated sector. Here, again, REC is playing the role of a nodal agency, and we have been assigned 19 states and union territories covering 32 DISCOMs for overseeing and monitoring the implementation of the RDSS scheme. Of these, action plans have been approved for 18 states, / 26 DISCOMs, and we are very hopeful that the sufficient or the substantial gains in the RDSS sector will allow the investments to really flow in this sector. For information of all concerned, REC is also the National Program Implementation Agency of the very ambitious Government of India's PM Surya Ghar Muft Bijli Yojana, which is fundamentally a rooftop solar scheme, which was launched in February 2024 for installation of almost 1 crore rooftop solutions with a financial outlay of almost 75,000 crores. It targets the generation of almost 1,000 billion units of renewable electricity from the installed capacity, which will reduce CO2 emissions by almost 720 million tons over the 25-year lifespan of these rooftop solar projects. So, as on date, against this 1 crore, roughly 51 lakh consumers have applied under the scheme, out of which installation has been completed in around 25% of the total applications received so far. That comes to roughly 12.5 lakh households. And the subsidy that has been promised under the scheme has been released to roughly 70% of the total beneficiaries who have finished the scheme or who have applied it. REC continues to hold the highest domestic rating of AAA and international ratings, which are at par with the sovereign rating of India from various credit rating agencies. We have constantly endeavored to diversify our investor base, open more funding options, and reduce the cost of our borrowings. And in this regard, recently in September 2024, we tapped the US bond market and successfully raised close to $500 million from the 144A bonds at a very tight spread of 127.5 basis points over the US Treasury. We also tapped the domestic zero coupon bond market and raised close to 5,000 crores at an interest rate of 6.25%. These results were achieved despite a very charged geopolitical environment and heightened competition. This gives us even more pleasure. REC's achievements over the past more than 5 decades of operations have been very crucial in shaping India's power sector. We have not only illuminated rural homes and promoted renewable energy adoptions, but our various diverse initiatives have empowered communities, we have strengthened the economy, and paved the way for a sustainable future. Our CSR initiatives are unique and are aimed to really contribute and identify those core people in our country who are really taking very strong steps to provide innovative solutions. We will continue to play a significant role in the government's overall objective, and our dream of making a developed nation by 2047 and the Honorable Prime Minister's vision to make the power sector self-sufficient, we see ourselves as playing a very pivotal role in funding India's future ambitions in the power sector. As I conclude, allow me to extend my heartfelt gratitude to the Honorable Minister of Power, Honorable Minister of Renewable Energy, the Honorable Minister of State for Power and New and Renewable Energy, as well as Secretary Power. These personalities have been instrumental in guiding us, in supporting us, and motivating us to pursue higher standards of excellence and delivery. I am confident that with my very, very competent team and almost 5 years of excellent performance in the power sector, we will continue to play an important role, and I look forward to a very good investor call today, and best wishes to all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir, for the opening remarks. I shall now quickly take you through the investor presentation. Just to remind you all, this presentation is also available on the website of REC and has also been uploaded on the stock exchanges BSE and NSE. This presentation has been divided into six broad areas, which is REC overview, operational performance, asset quality, borrowing profile, financial highlights, and the ESG initiatives taken by REC. As you know that REC has a long history of more than 5 decades, and in most recently, we have been appointed as a national program implementing agency for PM Surya Ghar Muft Bijli Yojana. We also issued our maiden yen bonds, the JPY bonds of JPY 61.1 billion and a USD foreign bond issuance of 500 million in the year 2024. REC has various key strengths, some of them being that it is a Maharatna company, which is the highest coveted status that any public sector enterprise can get, and it is a strategic player in the Indian power, infrastructure and logistics sector. REC has a diversified asset base with robust access to diversified funding sources. REC occupies strategic position in the growth and development of the power sector, and it is a major player in the renewable energy segment and creation of India's green energy corridor. The healthy asset quality with adequate provisioning coverage ratio of REC is one of its key strengths. REC has strong fundamentals and profitable business with stable margins leading to strong profitability. REC continues to enjoy the highest domestic credit ratings of AAA from all the 4 major credit rating agencies of India, which are CRISIL, CARE, ICRA and India Ratings. We also hold the international ratings of Baa3 and BBB- from Moody's and Fitch respectively, which are at par with the sovereign rating of India. Additionally, we are also rated BBB+ by Japan Credit Rating Agency for the most recent yen bond issuance of REC. We are the nodal agency for major flagship schemes of Government of India, such as RDSS, Saubhagya, Deen Dayal Upadhyay Gram Jyoti Yojana, Rooftop Solar Scheme, etc. REC has an experienced management team which has high sector expertise. As you know that REC forayed into infrastructure sector in the year 2022, by virtue of which REC can fund to various sectors of infrastructure such as metro, port waterways, airport, oil refinery, roads and highways, IT infra, fiber optics, steel infra, health sector, etc. Just to take you through the shareholder outlook, as at March 31, 2025, PFC, which is the promoter of REC, continues to hold 52.63% of the equity share of REC. The foreign institutional investors hold 20.48%, and the mutual funds hold almost 9.24% of REC. The FPIs and the FIIs have continuously reposed faith in REC and have consistently held more than 20% in REC paid-up capital since the IPO in 2008. As already informed by CMD sir, we continue to incentivize our shareholders, and in that process, the board of directors have recommended the final dividend of ₹2.60 per share, which is subject to the approvals of the shareholders of the company. By virtue of this final dividend, the total dividend declared for the financial year 2024-25 amounts to ₹18 per share, which is written 80% on the face value of ₹10. The earning per share of REC has for the financial year 25 was ₹59.55, and the book value per share reached to almost ₹295. REC has won various awards and accolades in its history, the most recent being the Gold Shield Award under the financial services sector other than banking and insurance category by the Institute of Chartered Accountants of India for the financial year 23-24. Just to take you through to the operational performance of REC, REC has sanctioned close to 3.37 lakh crores of new projects in the financial year 24-25, out of which the renewables continue to be the dominant force and continue to be 31% of the total sanctions that were made by REC. The infrastructure and logistics sector projects were 13% of the total sanctions. On the disbursements front, REC has made the highest ever disbursements in a financial year of ₹1,91,000 crores, which is a growth of 18% year on year. The renewables growth of 63% year on year of disbursements of 26,000 crores in the financial year was also there. The outstanding loan book of REC has increased to 5,67,000 crores, which is a growth of 11% year on year. And REC has been consistently increasing its share in renewable energy, and the overall loan book now stands at 10%. The infrastructure and logistics sector continues to be high and is at 12% of the overall loan book. The state sector occupies 87% of our total loan book and the private sector 13%. Now taking you through to the asset quality of REC has been continuously improving and the gross NPA have reduced to 1.35% of the total loan book and the net NPA at 0.38%. During the year, 5 projects aggregating to rupees almost 6,000 crores have been resolved. On the remaining NPAs, the provision coverage ratio stands at healthy, almost 72%. And just to remind you, there is no NPA in the state sector, and on the state sector also, the ECL provisioning as per Ind AS methodology of 0.93% has been created. We now have almost 12 projects under NPA, out of which 11 projects worth 6,000 crores are being pursued through NCLT with 77% provisioning, and remaining one project of worth 1,500 crores is being pursued outside NCLT with 50% provisioning. On the borrowing profile front, the total outstanding borrowing of REC has reached to almost 4,88,000 crores, of which foreign currency borrowings constitute 33%. Just to remind you all, almost 99.8% of these foreign currency borrowings are hedged. These foreign currency borrowings allow this wider investor base and thus reduces reliance on only domestic sources. REC is also one of the only 5 companies who are allowed to raise low-cost capital gains tax exemption bonds. The financial highlights has already been given by CMD sir, so I'll not touch them again. Just to take you through to the key ratios, the yield on loan assets of REC has improved to 10.05% from 9.99% from last year. The cost of funds have reduced to 7.11%. The net interest margin has also improved to 3.63%. The return on net worth stands at handsome 21.46%. The interest coverage ratio is comfortably placed at 1.58 times and the debt equity ratio at 6.29 times. During the quarter ended 24-25, for the last quarter, REC has recorded the profit after tax of 4,236 crores, and for the financial year, the highest ever annual profits of 15,713 crores, which is a growth of 12% from the last financial year. Just to quickly take you through to the ESG initiatives taken by REC, REC has taken significant steps on the ESG front, the most recent being in January 2025, where REC has started stakeholders' ESG assessment of private borrowers and the suppliers. REC is strategically lending for a sustainable future, which is focused on green infrastructure financing, demonstrating its unwavering commitment for Panchamrit goals and fostering environmental sustainability. For India's energy transition, REC, being the stepping stone, has tailored its lending strategies to align with nation's commitment towards harnessing clean and green energy sources. In the process, REC has already supported almost 52,700 plus megawatt projects in clean energy. The highlights of ESG performance in financial year 24-25 is also available on slide number 33 of the presentation available on the website of REC. With this, I shall now conclude the presentation and open the round for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Good morning, everybody. I have two questions. First is, thank you for sharing that the X of prepayments, the loan book growth could have been at 18%. I wanted to understand that the repayment rate being elevated is very much a function of those RBPF loans that we had given out, which will continue for another year. So what is our outlook on disbursal growth? It was 18% this year. What would it be in FY26? How elevated do we expect the repayments prepayments to be, and thus where our growth outlook would be? That's my first question. My second question is on the renewable energy projects. We have been hearing of the PPAs not getting signed, and there's been a slowdown with the DISCOMs, etc. What is an update over there? Has there been some intervention to smoothen the process? If you can give some color on that. And sorry, one more question. Third question is, if I see your stage 1 and 2 provision coverage ratio, while it has been increased on the DISCOM book, that was expected, it has also been increased on the private renewable book as well. That used to be about 60 bips in December 24, that has been raised to 132 bips. So can you help us understand, is there any stress or any reason to be concerned about the private renewable book that we've raised the stage 1 and 2 PCR over there? Thank you.
Yes, Shreya, good morning. That is regarding the repayment and the disbursements. As you know that REC has given an exponential growth as far as the disbursements are concerned. It rose from 90,000 to 1,60,000 crore and then to 1,91,000 crore. And this year again we are expecting, provided the market conditions are there, then we are expecting that our disbursement should touch around 2,00,000 to 2,10,000 crore during the year itself. As regards prepayments, that will continue to be on the same lines, and we expect that our approximately 1 lakh crore rupees repayments generally becomes due in the year, and it will be on the same trend. Regarding the prepayments, yes, this year we had received the prepayments of around 34,000 crore rupees, of which around 24,000 crore rupees were from the RBPF, in which the scheme itself states that anyone having the surplus of the money can repay the amount, and that again they can take the disbursement. So the disbursement and the prepayment both are flowing in the same way. Similarly, some of around 12,000 rupees crore rupees have been prepaid by some of the agencies. Yes, those prepayments were there, and some of them were expected and some of them were not anticipated. And out of which that Adani has made the prepayment of around 1,800 crore rupees, which were mainly because of some exposure issues were there. They have taken the further exposure from REC by prepaying this debt. Similarly, ACME has prepaid the amount that was the mandate given through their public issues which they raised during the year itself. As per their prospectus, they had to prepay the amount, and once they raised the money from the market, they prepaid the amount. Yes, MSDCL has made the payment of around 3,000 crore of rupees. That was perhaps they have made some other arrangements have been made. And you will understand that REC is a financial institution. Payments and the repayments is a regular phenomena. Anyone who understand and who knows that they can get cheaper funds from the market, they used to do the same thing. What we are doing as far as my borrowings are concerned, during the year itself, I have made the prepayment of around 17,000 crore rupees to my bankers, where my borrowing rate was higher. And I have replenished the same with the lower cost of funding. So this is the regular phenomena. I think we should not afraid from these kind of things to happen. But yes, my policies are there not to encourage any kind of prepayments are there. That policy are still there. Regarding renewables? Yes, I'll
give this renewable. With regard to your renewable PPA not getting signed, the query was regarding that. So as far as REC is concerned, we are taking up only those projects for funding which have already signed PPA. So PPA not signed is not a risk to REC. But yes, there are issues in terms of signing of PPA. The 4 RE is renewable energy implementing agencies, NTPC, NHPC, SJVN and SECI. They have conducted bidding. And we understand that close to 40-50 gigawatt of bidding concluded in the last year needs PPA to be signed with the DISCOM. And I think this is an ongoing process. Sometimes it does take time in the distribution companies, you know, to come forward and sign the PPA. Every DISCOM has a defined renewable purchase obligation. So sooner or later, we have seen in the past also, sometime this gets accumulated and the number looks elevated, but I think in due course of time, things get sorted out. So that is something which relates to the sector. But again, let me say this one more time, that we take up funding of a project only when the PPA is signed. So as such, no risk in our book. And regarding stage 1 and 2 also, you can clarify.
You have asked about the private sector increase in the ECL. That was absolutely, it is on the trend, and new NPA has happened, except the Bhavnagar, which happened in the Q3 of FY25. And that was a very insignificant amount, out of my total loan book of 5,66,000 crore, that is around only 13 crore rupees. And for that, we have already started the resolution process and we have filed the case in the NCLT. And perhaps we expect that in the next 2 quarters that will be resolved. The account which have elevated the provisioning in the private sector, that was mainly of the Alaknanda. There some of the rating of the company and the promoter was degraded from B to C, and C minus has attracted the extra provision. So because of that, and similarly, one of the project which was in the public sector that has been bought by some private sector company, that is the Tista Urja. So on that, we have to make the higher provisioning of that. Rest all absolutely on the track. Nothing extraordinary things has happened as far as the private sector provisioning are concerned.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much. So just one follow-up. So the dispersal number that you've given and expectation of elevated repayments, it looks like we will only be able to do about 12-13% growth next year also, right? AUM growth.
Yeah, we expect so. It should be around 12% plus minus 1 or 2%, you can take it up. And so you can understand that we have given you target of around 10 lakh crore loan books by 2030. So somewhere it may be 11%, somewhere it may be 13% in the years to come. But if we take average growth of 12%, then it should touch 10 lakh crore by the year 2030. So we
have to thank you very much.
But we had given the guidance earlier.
Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning and thank you for taking my questions. So first thing, just trying to understand out of these 12 projects that we now have under NPA, have we shared some projects which are in advanced stages of resolution and which could potentially get resolved in this year? Why I ask is, during your opening remarks, you also shared the fact that we would look to get to net zero NPA by the end of this fiscal year. So if you could just help us understand some of the projects which are in advanced stages of resolution and what is the progress in each of those projects?
Sir, as regards the NPA assets, you know that as at the beginning of the FY25, that is on 1st April 24, there were 16 projects which were to be resolved. Out of them, we have resolved 5 projects in the year 24-25, that is Nagai, KSK, Lynx, Amarkantak and Corporate Power. There we have a recovery of around 71%. Now there are only 12, one more project have been added, which I have just mentioned about the Bhavnagar. So 11 plus 1 became 12. So 12 projects are to be resolved and we are sure that these projects will be resolved by the end of Q4, 26, of which the major projects are, that is one is the Sinner projects, second is Hiranmayee project, third is Bhadreshwar, and the fourth is, what is that?
Global Metal. Global
Metal. TRN, Global Metal. So out of that, if you see that we have already filed IBC case in respect of the 6 projects. And one is under restructuring, that is TRN. And 5 are already technical write-off, where we have already made a provision of 100%. So we can expect a good amount of recovery out of the projects which are under the IBC, that is the Sinner,
Hiranmayee,
and one more project is Bhadreshwar project is there. There we can expect a good recovery. So I am expecting that around 800 to 1000 crore would be recovered in the FY25-26.
Got it, sir. And sir, the other thing I wanted to understand is why we've spoken a lot about this prepayments and the fact that some of this happened in the normal course. But in a declining rate environment, I think banks will be much more aggressive in kind of trying to get some of these projects that you have financed today. So, I mean, what are we trying to do around it? Basically, I think you spoke about some retention schemes or retention policies that you have in place. But, I mean, beyond the RBPS, I think in a declining rate environment, otherwise also there is going to be that pressure which will be there on the rundown in the book, the prepayments. So, what are we kind of trying to do to address that? And the last question that I had was, again, on the RE side. So, obviously, I mean, I think Gensol was a one-off example of maybe misgovernance. But just trying to understand on the RE side, how are you looking at things? Is there a case to believe that maybe in the next 12 to 18 months, we could see more such issues coming out of the RE sector? And so I also explain why I am kind of questioning that. In the past, whenever we spoke about stressed assets in the thermal sector, we always prided that there were no stressed assets in the state sector. Large part of it were in private. But if you look at the RE side today, right, large part of the financing that has happened on the RE side is predominantly private in nature. So what are your views on the RE financing and how asset quality could evolve over the next 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the intervention. I would like to appreciate that you have rightly pointed out that we are in a declining rate environment, and the high rates, high interest rates that one could normally charge in the earlier years are no longer available. We must also realize that the liquidity scenario in the economy has loosened up further with the repo rates coming down. I think we can expect interest rates to only go southwards. Having said this, we are very conscious of the fact that we have been fundamentally involved in the power sector for a long time. We have unique capabilities with regard to and unique perspectives with regard to the power sector. Fundamentally, we are looking at three or four major interventions. Number one, we are really going to incentivize the construction part of the project finance. There are no incentives in place for any player, whether it is a state player or a private player, to incentivize early completion of projects. So that is one area which we hope to target in the days to come. The second is the option of refinancing. The option of refinancing once scheduled COD has been achieved. That is another option that we are looking at. We are also looking at streamlining and liberalizing the ease of doing business with respect to our guidelines. I think a combination of all these three parameters will make an interest rate reduction an irrelevant consideration. I am hopeful that once our guidelines have been further liberalized, once our incentive mechanisms have been put in place, people are not going to look at interest rate advantages. Rather, they will look at ease of doing business, because as we know, there are a lot of imponderables in the power sector, and there are a lot of risks in the power sector with regard to project completion. The nature of constructions, the huge investment involved, the various risk factors which sometimes one cannot plan for. I think REC is uniquely, with its past profile, with its expert entity appraisal process, I think the interest rate consideration may not be very relevant in the year to come. I'll now request my colleague to answer the issue with regard to the RE side.
Shall I take?
As regards the RE sector, you will appreciate that our rates are already most competitive rates in the market. And in all the segments, that is whether generation, transmission and distribution are concerned. So since we have a competition with directly with the banks, so our rates are already competitive. And there we have the policy also that we give a post-construction, post-completion discounts also. And perhaps we are yet to see a phase where our projects are being refinanced by the banks. So that case is still not coming to us. But yes, we are keeping ourselves ready for the threats in the near future also. So we'll continue to keep our rate of interest competitive. Similarly, that to supplement that how to meet this lower declining interest rate scenario, we are also focusing on the low cost raising the funds. Recently, we have raised the institutional bonds at 6.86, which is the cheapest source of funds available in the domestic market. And we have could raise the funds even the most cheap rate as compared to our peer of the company, that is FATCO and PFC and all that. So we are focusing on that. Similarly, as regards the why one should come to REC, there is a sectorial limits where the banks have the limitations. Banks have to fund to all the sectors. So there they have the limit, sectorial limits, so they cannot go beyond that limit for the power sector. Like REC, since we have been in this business for the last 50 years or so, we have offices in almost all the states. There we have the direct connect with the borrowers. So those borrowers, they understand our system, we understand their systems. Our services are much better in servicing to all these, whether be it the renewable sector or the state sector. So there we have the upper edge. And that is why we get the continuously business, and that is why our sanction and the disbursements growth are happening for the last 4 to 5 years.
Got it. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. First one on AUM growth. So as you rightly said, I mean, this prepayments are part and parcel of the business. Now, if you were to look at in this backdrop, the biggest drag right now in AUM growth is distribution led asset. Now, here my question is that, okay, considering all the schemes, some picking up, some maturing, how do you see this, the distribution led AUM to grow? Because last year it has grown at 2% only. So how do you see over, say, next 1 to 3 years, how this distribution-led asset will grow eventually? I mean, if the RDSS were to pick or a PM, so you're the so most busy one not to pick, and some schemes were to mature. And related to that, coming to thermal has done okay last year. I mean, despite some resolution impact of 3%, it has grown at 8%. Now, if we were to look at, the NEP 2032, now the idea is 95 gigawatt of thermal. Out of that, probably 35-40 gigawatts to come from a state. Now, given that gestation period of nearly 6 years for thermal project, more or less, if we are really serious about this 95 gigawatt, the planning to execution should start in the next 1-2 years. Now, in that context, can you some give idea that, okay, which are the state utilities, who is going to contribute, a large part of this 35-40 gigawatt that is going to come in the state sector? And what is the kind of a visibility here? Because the thermal growth will again be key for your AUM growth particularly. So, the first question, that thermal growth and distribution. The second, when it comes to your profitability, I mean, some of the, projects there will be, interest rate is declining, and also there have been some noise around your estate-related project, you charging higher interest like a Kaleshwaram project. And once those kind of rate negotiation happen, probably there will be some pressure on your names. And also this credit cost will start to see a more normal as we go past this recovery phase. So how do you see kind of, your NIMS and ROAs to be kind of trending, say, after FY26? Thank you.
I'll take first 2 questions. So I think on your first question regarding the distribution-led repayments. Let me clarify that particularly in this year, we have seen that there are certain repayments which are actually not expected, because in some of the case, the state governments, and we are seeing this trend for last 1 to 3 years, the state governments are now supporting DISCOMs, and this particular support comes in the year end. So February, March is the time when such support comes. Now, in case of, say, for example, Chhattisgarh received some state support close to 2,000 crore, and then they made that particular repayment using that, because otherwise it doesn't make sense for them, you know, to idle the money at their end. So such repayments have also happened. Let me be very specific that in our distribution segment, other than RBPF, there is nothing else which is actually making this repayment things happen. RBPF is, the product itself is designed in a way that there is a facility available to the borrowers in which they can make repayment at any point of time. But we are seeing that regular disbursements and repayments are happening, apart from some 5 to 10,000 crore, which has happened particularly in this particular year. Thermal in the state sector, you know that central sector like NTPC, NHPC, they raise funds for their projects on their own. But the state sector, we are the key financiers for them, and we are looking that particular sector, this generation sector, very, very closely. So wherever the project is ripe and needs financial closure, we have done the sanction. We have done sanction in case of Haryana, Rajasthan 2 projects, Haryana 1 project, MP 2 projects, Maharashtra 1 project, DVC, we have done 2 projects. Likewise, whichever project is available and needs financial closure, we have given the sanction, and there are some issues around terms and conditions, interest rate. That discussion is undergoing currently. So we are going to, you know, target this particular state generation sector very, very aggressively. And I think on profitability, you can...
I'll supplement to what DP sir just mentioned, that there are some of the projects like the Bihar is coming with 2,400 megawatt project. MP is coming with 3,200 megawatt projects. Similarly, in the private sector, if you see that Lenko has been won by the Adani, so there may be some expansion that Mahan is going for the expansion. JSW is going for the West Bengal expansion, that is 1,600 megawatt. SR Power is going for the 1,600 megawatt. Similarly, in the transmission projects, if you see the TBC projects, there is an ample opportunity around 1 crore business to come in the next 2 to 3 years. And in the last year itself, the REC and the REC, PDCL and the PFCL has sanctioned 45 projects of around 55,000 crore rupees, so of which we expect that the major chunk will come to REC. And similarly, there is a smart project schemes. 11 crore smart meter projects have been awarded to various MISP agencies, and that cost around 4,500 crore rupees, the 50,000 crore rupees, of which we are expecting that a good amount of business will come. So that will keep our book growing at the same pace at which we are anticipating. As regards the NIM and spread, that our NIM is at present 3.63%, and we have already mentioned that it will be between the 3.5% to 3.75%. Similarly, our spread, that would be between 2.5% to 2.75 to 3%. So we'll continue to maintain. We have already mentioned that we are resorting to some of the cheapest costs of borrowing. And our board in itself competent or authorized to fix the repayment of rates. So our card rate is fixed by the board in itself. So keeping the margin intact, we used to fix the price. And that need to be competitive. In the next 5 to 7 years, 80 gigawatt generation capacity is to be added. And there we give the best of the yield. Our generation rate are as of now is 10 to 11.5%. So that will contribute to the growth and to the NIM also. Similarly, infrastructure project may also contribute to the NIM and the spread also. So these are our strategy which will work on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will take our next question from the line of Ashlesh Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi team, good morning. First question is on the Telangana state exposures. I see that you have an exposure to the Kaleshwaram project, another power generation company and another power distribution company. Which of these are in NPA or SMA today? And any other Telangana state accounts which are in SMA or NPA apart from these three?
Sir, Kaleshwaram and TSW, both are in the stage 2 assets. And
standard.
And discounts, yeah. Telangana discounts are standard. AP, some of the AP discounts are in the stage 2. And you know that somewhere there may be some administrative delays are there. You know that the working of the government. And sometimes they also get allocations from the center not on time. And some budgetary supports are also there. And that is why they have slipped from stage 1 to stage 2. And wherever they have been in the slip to the stage 2 or their delays are there, we have been charging penal interest also from delayed and penal interest from these agencies. They have been regularly making the payments. And we don't foresee any kind of difficulty in realizing our debts.
Okay. And any status on the resolution of these exposures? Can there be a haircut here and any plans to consolidate these exposures with a few lenders?
We don't think so that it will be in the same fashion and the style in which it has been going for the last
these loans.
So yes, and these I don't think that we are going to restructure these loans or there should be any cuts on these loans.
Government
and these are secured against the government guarantee also.
These are only for some time delay.
And no plans to consolidate them, right? With
no,
any
no.
specific lenders.
No, no.
Okay. Okay, got it. And secondly, just another question on the.
So sorry to interrupt you, but we request you to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I'm again dismantling the growth levers both on the thermal and the distribution side. A few things might be repetitive. So on the thermal side, while there is no second thoughts about the funding opportunity, especially also given the fact that greenfield projects have become costlier, but the problem is about the implementation and the execution delays. So when do you see thermal coal generation disbursements sort of coming to us in a manner that it would drive the loan growth for us? Point number one. Second, on the renewable side, again, you mentioned and touched upon the interest rates, and that's fairly known. But now there is question about quality of renewable projects that are coming to fore. So while state exposure has decreased, there has been growing number of private sector renewable projects. One or two we already have seen sort of hitting rock bottom. From the renewable side, have things changed for you in terms of being selective or on the underwriting side? That's part of renewables. Third, on the distribution side, so while RBPF has been holding up our loan growth, so in Q4, the sanctions towards RBPF were zilch. Now, is this a Q4 phenomena or this is something like, okay, look, now RBPF is completely behind and now that the implementation of government capex is picking up, so RDSS disbursements on the distribution capex side will sort of pick up on a larger scale in 26 vis-a-vis FY25. Also on the distribution side, because RDSS and LPS are towards their sunset clause here. Will we see tapering of disbursements from the distribution side going forward beyond FY26-27? And therefore, you know, finally, what are the levers to this 12-13% growth? Yeah, that's all from my side.
I'll take this. So with regard to thermal growth, so we mentioned earlier that we have already sanctioned multiple projects which were available for financial closure, and then our final discussions are going on. In fact, you know this, that states implement project only after they finalize major projects. Major projects means BTG projects and balance of plant projects, and then only they take up the initial site activity also. in which the funding starts. All these projects have been sanctioned in past one and a half years, and then majority of the projects now the EPC is almost decided, and we are also at the verge, you know, to finalize the terms and conditions to get going on these projects. We still have so left a number of projects, in particularly in the joint sector, where we still have not started funding because the projects are still not ripe enough. Those projects will also come our way, and joint sector with central sector agencies and the state sector. Normally, if you have seen in the past that these projects, the central sector companies do not expose their own balance sheet, rather they rely on the balance sheet of the joint JV company, and those JV company traditionally they also avail loan from institutions like us. So that also is going to be a mega opportunity for us in times to come. Thermal, as I mentioned, that now since majority of EPC contracts and the major contracts are getting concluded, and we believe that in this current financial year there will be substantial growth in terms of disbursement, capex disbursement in thermal segment. REC, regarding renewable energy projects, of course, interstate are so competitive. I mean, we can compete with any bank in this particular segment. And therefore, you might have seen that we have done large number of projects sanctions. In past year, we did 1,35,000 crore. This year, we did 1,07,000 crore. And current year, we are targeting close to 1,50,000 crore of sanctions. And those sanctions are now converting into disbursements also. We have been saying this with that we are very, very particular about the quality of asset. And as I said, that we take up the project for funding only when the PPA is signed. Not alone PPA, but there are other critical factors like open access is also one of the major issue which causes financial stress in the early stage of the RE project. So we are very, very critical, very, very critical that all the critical things are available to the project, like PPA, open access, evacuation system. Then only we take up the project for funding. The stress that you are talking about in the RE is the about two very small projects. One is of 1 megawatt, another is, I think, 5-7 megawatt. And these were sanctions maybe some 10, 12, 15 years back. And they traditionally had the issue of, you know, PPA and realization of some tariff-related issue also, and realization of revenue, and therefore they become NPA. Other than those, everything else is actually going on very well, and we are actually witnessing that the credit rating of these assets is also improving. You know that we now have LPS in place, and therefore no project is actually seeing the delay in this receivables. These are on time, and therefore there is remarkable improvement in the credit agencies. Regarding disbursement in the distribution segment, LPS, yes, LPS got over maybe 2 years back. RBPS sanctions, you mentioned that Q4 there is no sanction. In fact, RBF, one sanction is actually valid for 5 years. So whatever sanctions we did maybe 2 years back, it is still valid for another 3 years. What we did last year is still valid for next 4 years, likewise. So our RBPF sanction is not an issue. We are targeting RBPF disbursement close to 80 to 90,000 crore in the current financial year. And the capex-led disbursement will definitely improve this financial year, because RDSS, the grant component, is also almost getting over, and now the states will actually be required to, you know, put the 40%, 60% is grant, which is now almost coming to the state. 40% is what is the opportunity available to us, and we believe, and we have sanctioned large number of projects for counterpart funding, so those disbursements will also kick in very soon. I think we would start seeing them in maybe Q1 itself, and certainly in Q2.
That is helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Nilay Dalal from ITI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have one question with regards to the incremental borrowing for FY26. The current borrowing stands at 4.88 lakh crore. I would like to understand what would be the expected borrowing for FY26, along with its bifurcation of how much would be the domestic borrowing and how much would be the ECB.
As you know, this time our total borrowing is around 4,88,000 crore rupees, of which 1,63,000 crore rupees is from the external commercial borrowings. That constitute around 33 to 34%. And this year we have a plan of 1,70,000 crore rupees. And with regard to bifurcation, you know that we are running a financial institutions where on the day of the fund requirement, we go into the market, and wherever we get the cheaper source, we tap that market. So even in the on the day of the requirement, if my ECB source is cheaper, then we'll go for the ECB ECB course of funding. That ECB cost should be inclusive of my hedging charges. So we sometimes go for the innovative hedging techniques, which makes my ECB cost cheaper. Then we go for the ECB route. Otherwise, we go for the institutional funding. You see that the bank's term loan are a little costlier. So our portfolio, though it is diversified, but the bank portfolio is a little less. So generally, on the day of the requirement, we evaluate the proposal, and based on the cost, the source which is cheaper, then we go for that kind of funding.
Okay, fine. So you said the incremental will be 1.7 lakh crore, right?
1,70,000 crore.
Okay, thank you. That will be.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Punit Bahlani from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Just so firstly, on the competition bit, you mentioned that, you know, you have not seen too many balance transfers in this quarter. So fair to assume that the prepayments in the renewable segment, in the transmission segment that we have deemed this quarter, there is no asset balance transfer or refinancing, you know, to a PSU bank. It is just prepayments, like that is the first one. And second, what is the interest rate differential basically between, like, say, we are charging somewhere between 8.5 to 9% for a renewable project. What is a public sector bank charging for the same project, for assuming a similar credit rating and everything? So, yeah, those are the two questions.
So, in RE, there were some repayments, and we were expecting those repayments in the last quarter. So we were aware that this will happen. ACME and Adani, we mentioned few, because those repayments were lined up and we knew that they will come up in Q4 itself. Q1, as we see, there is no repayment visible as of now. And we believe that the interest rate that we are offering to, particularly to RE sector, will be good enough, you know, to retain the assets with us. With regard to our interest rate, we have been saying this, that we are very competitive. In the state sector, we have done some projects even at 8.5%, but generally our interest rate starts from 8.95, and private sector, it starts from 9.2 and goes in a step of 25 BPS. Other banks are also offering in the same range, maybe 10, 20, 30 BPS here and there. But if you have seen the sanction number 1,07,000 crore, that means the developers are interested to get financing from REC, and therefore the interest rate that we are offering is workable for them. So therefore we say that our interest rates are quite competitive.
So not any balance transfers this quarter, like as such, on a large scale, basically. It's just the repayments that have happened. Like balance transfers, as in not any bank pitching in and taking a account. Nothing like that has happened, right?
Nothing of this thing is visible at this point of time. So nothing will happen in Q1 at least.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pawan from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. The 87% state loans, are they entirely backed by the state government guarantees?
No, sir. Almost 50% of that is backed by the state government guarantees.
Remaining 37%, I understand.
Rest is against the hypothecation of the asset, sir. But most of the, or 90% plus loans against the non-capex are state government guaranteed.
Pardon me, sir. Can you please explain that again? The last
one. I am saying out of my entire portfolio of the government funding, 50% is secured against the government guarantee. And as far as the non-capex loans are concerned, more than 90% is guaranteed by the government. State government.
Got it. Yeah, got it, sir. So second question, in the earlier point you were talking about external commercial borrowing and foreign currency loans. Are they completely hedged both for foreign currency risk and also for the interest rate risk?
Our 99.9% portfolio is hedged, and the hedging is as per the RBI approved structure only.
Got it, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we will take this as our last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shripal Doshi for closing comments.
Thank you, Pooja. Firstly, I would like to thank the management of REC for giving us the opportunity. And thanks to all participants for joining the call. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Equirus Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.